Sports, wine, life. This is the Macko and Cause podcast.
Hey, everyone, and welcome to the Macko and Cause podcast. And we're back together. It's been a couple weeks. Episode 109. I'm Matt Cause. That's Bob Mackowitz. How you doing, Bob?
I'm good, Matt. You're faking your energy and you know it. Because just before we started rolling, we talked about how it's been a couple weeks and we're probably going to suck today. Yeah. And Matt was like, no, we're not.
No, we're not.
He quickly whipped up his Chris Farley-esque enthusiasm.
That's right. That's right. By the way, how often is that in
broadcasting? And we're going to do this pod down by the river.
Yeah. Well, first off, you've produced a fair number of TV shows.
A couple.
How often is right before the show started, everyone's bleh.
Every time.
And then the red light goes on. It's like, hey, everybody. You know, we're here for a good time. So that's the pod.
And then as soon as it's done, everyone's on a natural high. And they're like, hey, let's go have sex and meat.
Yeah. Yeah. And then...
And that's basically the life of a performer.
Do it in that order as well. I find, you know, the sandwich meats don't
they're not
a performance enhancer for sex. No.
I'm going to have a pastrami and then, you know, a couple hours of cuddling.
Yeah, yeah. Well, mostly cuddling with my pillow.
I've been hanging around single people lately. Mm. It's different. It's like a different way of looking at the world. They're really aware of things.
Yeah.
I realized how many things I stopped being aware of.
Yeah.
Like they were talking about curating their Instagram page to make sure that they're presenting a good forward face.
What?
Yeah. And I thought.
A good what face?
Honestly, I was proud of myself today that I noticed my fly was undone.
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah.
Better than before if you're sitting on the, streetcar.
Yeah, it was before.
Yeah, that's good. Everyone wins. In that case.
Anyway, single people are fascinating because they notice everything.
Well, they have to.
I know.
Yeah, like I can only take it from the male perspective, but you know, you got to try to keep things together because you know you like sex before the before the pastrami. Callback. A lot to get into, including you have two pairs of glasses.
I do. One's for seeing things in the distance.
Yeah.
One's for seeing things up close. And I keep them both nearby, depending on the circumstance.
When,
I'm ready for everything.
When do you need to wear from a distance? Is that just normal walking and stuff?
Okay. It's amazing. I've been in a kind of a cloud for the last couple of years, I've noticed. You know, when you put the glasses on, finally, you're like, holy shit, details.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, 100%. I mean, I got the old reading glasses, so I just need from up close, not far away.
Nobody cares about my glasses, Matt. They want to talk about Jake Muzzin's hit.
Here's the funny thing. Right now, the Super Bowl's over.
Did it happen?
Like, the biggest game of the year in one of the best NFL seasons in ages. And, you know, I said this yesterday. By Tuesday, no one's going to care. Unless you're a Patriots fan, the only thing I care about in the Super Bowl is that New England has finally gone full troll. Whether it was Gronk and Brady in their Instagram videos, of them being about as smug as possible, Edelman and Brady dressed up as Jedis at Disneyland, or a tweet from the Patriots Twitter account with a picture of the wing or the back on their plane with all the Super Bowl trophies on, and the caption says, we're going to need a bigger plane. They've finally gone troll.
Okay, so at what point do you have to acquiesce and just simply say the trolling is fun?
It is fun. Yesterday.
Is it now? I feel like this is the first time that I haven't regretted one of their wins, that I haven't felt a kind of a post-Boston hangover.
Mm-hmm.
I get it. It's a great sports town.
Yeah.
And by the way, the Red Sox, God bless them. What did they tweet out? The Patriots have broken Boston's 93-day championship drought.
Yeah, I know. Yeah.
It's funny.
It is funny.
You kind of have to just say, okay. Because, you know, like the Evil Empire in Star Wars, at a certain point you go, they do seem fun to hang out with.
They do. They do.
They get results.
They do. They get results.
As
conservatives often do. You know, they blow up planets. There's that.
They had the tech to do it.
Yeah, they did. You know,
getting credit. They put together an awful lot of tech in a short period of time.
Yep. I feel this could get some dark political spots.
Yeah, it is. It's got a dark political undertone. I've been home because of the cold.
Yeah.
And I only do one thing when I'm home because of the cold. Listen to angry left-wing political podcasts.
That must be just a real hoot.
I'm ready to talk about everything from healthcare to factory farming.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe we should get back to Jake Muzzin's hit.
Sure. Yeah. So any thoughts on the Super Bowl before we just get on
Jake
Muzzin?
We actually going to address it?
No, if there's anything... you want to address.
I think it's safe to say it was an awful game.
Yep.
I think you made an interesting and truthful observation that for some reason the trolling has actually become fun.
It has.
You know, because what are you going to do?
Yeah.
Right? Like, go limp. All you can do now is go limp. Yeah, they're great.
Yeah, they're great. We know it. But we didn't learn anything new.
And the Dolphins got a new coach, which is great. So it's another reason for the Bills to never have a winning season.
But hold on. It's a Patriots coach. So, you know, they'll be there for a year and a half.
Josh McDaniels. I know.
McDaniels ain't leaving.
Matt Patricia. I get it. Yeah, that's true. Actually, maybe this is good news for the Bills.
Yeah.
You raise an interesting point. I think what was most interesting about it, Maroon 5 I didn't watch. Maroon 5.
You know what? I watched part of it, but my thing was, ooh, okay. So when Maroon 5 started.
Okay, let's discuss.
Okay, but you don't know what I'm going to say.
No.
We ordered veggie pizza because one of the guys in our group's a vegetarian.
Mm-hmm.
So I knew this was going to cause a pizza imbalance. So the moment Maroon 5 started, everyone was just curious. Like, I wonder what this will look like. You know what I did?
The pizza or the act?
You went
and like scarfed up all the meat pizza.
Oh yeah, I got the pepperoni and mushroom and like the meat lovers. I grabbed a bunch of slices.
So you didn't get stuck with the veggie.
Oh no, no veggie pizza.
That's
for this
actually
guy.
Really that's pro.
Yeah, because I didn't.
That's
care
pro,
about,
Matt.
I don't
no.
care about Maroon 5s.
That's advanced scouting.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Oh, I knew when someone said, oh, yeah, we got veggie pizza. And I looked at the crowd. I saw one vegetarian who, by the way, said, I can't eat it because I can't eat the cheese.
Right.
And then I wanted to strike the person who ordered the veggie.
Here's the thing. And I know this because I've spent so much time around vegans and have dabbled myself.
You have dabbled, like a university student. Okay, yeah, I'll dabble over here.
Vegan until graduation.
Ooh,
okay.
This feels weird.
So, some weird things bouncing around this pod. Mm-hmm. Anyway, 2 weeks off, I guess.
Yeah.
The second you're not ready to have the meat, like the second you've given up on that,
yeah,
like all bets are off for dietary restrictions, right? Like whoever has the meat is usually like, whatever you want on it.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's fine. But the second you start having some rules, you wind up having a lot of rules.
Yeah.
It's a slippery slope. And I've done this a million times. It's like, well, why am I giving up just pepperoni? Why don't I give up chicken too? And if I'm giving up chicken, why am I having any meat?
Yeah.
If I'm having all veggies, why would I have dairy? And next thing you know, like all you have for lunch.
Your dinner's a Sarah McLachlan song.
Yeah. That's a good line. I don't know if anyone out there is going to appreciate that because it was so subtle and good. That was a great joke. Good for you. Anyway, that was good. Maroon 5, is it possible Adam Levine is the only guy in the world whose tattoos make him look wimpier?
Ooh, good question. It does look like he's overcompensating, and he doesn't need to. The fellow's.
He looks like
good
a kid's lunchbox.
Yeah.
With all kinds of stickers on it.
That or Hep C. He looks like one or the other.
It doesn't look like Hep C. This is one of the few times where you go, that guy could use some Hep C. We're trying to rough him up a little bit.
Yeah, it's funny. Everyone gets upset. My thing about the halftime act, no one's going to be happy. It's like an Oscar host now.
Not true.
No one's going to.
Not true. I was watching clips of Prince at the Super Bowl.
Yeah, but think about how unhappy people would be. They put that
corpse
there.
Is it okay if
there.
I play my guitar? Yes, it is, Prince.
Yeah.
Yes, it is.
There are a few exceptions. Prince was one that we could all get
Bruce,
behind.
I think everyone loved U2.
Yeah, well, U2, that was, I mean, incredible because that was honoring
the
9/11.
The fallen, right.
Yeah,
so.
There's three, but for every one or two that are great, the others haven't complained. And you knew it was. I didn't care about Maroon 5, but I just went and ate pizza.
Okay, so do they go the route of the Oscars and just not have a halftime show? I guess you can't. You know, the ratings spike for the halftime show.
They do.
There's all kinds of people who don't care about the game.
Yeah.
Are curious about the halftime show. So that's like the one time where it really does appeal to everybody.
No, you have
and the game is on because, like you say, you're off on pizza duty at that time. Even if you're not watching, you're still counting as ratings.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And here's the thing. You have the halftime show because the people that are upset, it's usually just the small, loud minority on some social media complaining about this or that.
I don't think it was a small minority hating Maroon 5.
Really?
Yeah, I think it was a pretty vocal majority.
A vocal majority?
Yeah.
Hated
Do you know
Maroon
anybody
5.
Who likes them?
Because
I think they might
the
be
guy the guy hosting it. His wife loves Maroon
right,
5.
So Jim Nance.
Yeah.
Jim Nance likes Maroon 5.
Yeah. I just
even Tony Romo is sitting there, I'm sure, in the back of his mind thinking, man, this is pretty sucky.
But it's like what Madonna did. Madonna was stunk and the Stones weren't great. And I don't know. I just one of the things people like to bellyache and then you move on.
I don't like to reward mediocrity.
Okay.
That's the thing. Like, if you're going to give it to the Stones or Madonna, at least you can make the argument, like, good performance or bad, they're iconic acts.
They are.
Right? But Maroon 5, literally, if mayonnaise could write and front music, it would be Maroon 5. Like, they are so middle of the road.
Yes, they are.
It's like if you took a script of Friends and distilled it into an essential oil and rubbed it all over somebody, and they turned into Adam Levine.
Yeah.
Like, it is literally the beige of music.
That's true.
So I don't like to reward it. I would rather see someone suck Because well, they tried on. To wait, be interesting wait, 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 and it wait, wait, didn't wait. Work.
They didn't reward Maroon 5.
Yes, they did.
No, they did not.
They got backed into it because anybody with any integrity said, we're not doing it.
Is it really a reward when the headline was, Maroon 5 ducks questions about racial inequality? Yeah. You know, and by the way, for everyone upset about that, were you sitting there thinking, Adam Levine will fix it?
I'm dying to find out what he has to say.
Yeah, exactly. So it wasn't a reward. It was a here. You all know, right. Oh, you know what it was?
And Tony Romo. I think we're all just watching football now to see if Tony Romo can do his Nostradamus thing.
Yeah.
And figure out what the next play is going to be. I thought he was really good.
He was.
Even
he
though they dialed back on it, I think.
You know, who was it? It was. I think it was Chuck Klosterman Bill Simmons.
It was a great point.
What a great point that the quarterback with the most pressure was Goff. Wham, wham. But the quarterback with the second most was Romo.
Right.
That there was no pressure on Brady.
It was such a great observation that Tom Brady went into that game as the quarterback, the third most pressure.
Yeah, it's a great thought.
He's so clever.
Yeah.
He's so clever. I always feel like Klosterman's living my best life.
Mm.
Like if I was smarter and funnier, I would be Chuck Klosterman.
I think you'd probably be as close to, you know, it's just.
I'm close.
Yeah, you're close. You're damn close.
Terman.
Yeah. And, you know, I'd say you guys are even Steven on the funny.
You're so sweet. So when am I on Bill's pod?
I don't know.
I'm here with you, pal.
I know.
But you're looking good. You got a haircut. Your glasses are all shined up.
Yep, that's right.
I can see myself in them. Do you shine your glasses? Let's talk Leafs.
Okay.
We are not doing anybody any favors.
Okay, so no more Super Bowl. Jake Muzzin's hit.
And the great thing was,
it was on Corey Perry.
I know.
That's the first thing that made it great.
Good London night.
You hit that little prick. So that got the warm and fuzzies. But the best thing about it was... We haven't seen that in ages. It was like, oh, remember that? That it was like the member berries from South Park. Like, it just looks so different.
That's a great point. And to go back to the sort of meat eating analogy from earlier, when I do one of my cleanses, and then I have like a sandwich that's pretty delicious, like a salami sandwich, it's like the best.
Yeah.
Because it's been 6 weeks. And honestly, it's like an orchestra is in your mouth. It is so good. So, we all like violent hockey.
Yeah.
I've always been honest about this. I can't be a hypocrite. I like UFC.
Mm-hmm.
I like boxing.
Yep.
I like football with big hits.
Yep.
I understand the ramifications of this.
Mm-hmm.
Not oblivious to the health concerns.
Yep.
But I'd be lying if I said I didn't prefer my sports to be a little violent.
Yeah.
You know, and we don't get that in hockey. Okay. Ray Ferraro made a great analogy on TSN 1050 a while ago. He said most of the regular season's like air hockey, where it's sort of like the puck is just whipping around and there's no contact and sometimes it goes in.
Yeah.
It's actually a really great way to describe regular. But you know what made me think, Maddie? Doesn't this give you like almost like a dog that's tasted blood? Like you kind of want to get to the playoffs so they can start hating each other again?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, it's 100%. Like, you know, it's gone from, it's not about being heavy on the man, it's being heavy on the puck.
Right. Ooh.
Ooh.
Well, ooh, look at you.
Look
eh?
At that.
Look at you, Gordy. Look at you, Howie Meeker.
Sports. So then when you see like a body on body hit into the post, into the, you know, in the beam there, and then Perry's on the ground and the crowd is cheering, and then Muzzin after, you know, all the great things, but just sticking on the hit. Yeah. Like, we're never going to go back to what hockey was, but you do miss that sort of physicality because it's a reminder of sports hate and that this is this competition and all the primal things we love about sports we saw in that hit.
Yeah, and the primal collision of two very large people colliding and one of them standing and one of them not.
Yeah.
Which, you know, it's like, to make another Simpsons reference, remember at the end of the episode where Homer meets all of his family and they're lined up in the yard, they put pots on their head and they just run into each other and the other is like put a circle around them and clap? Yeah.
That's what that was.
Yeah, me like that.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
You know what I thought about that hit? With the exception of scoring on a penalty shot, it was probably the best way to ingratiate himself to the Toronto home crowd was that.
Yeah.
Penalty shot would have been bigger just because of the epic moment, like the
build
stoppage
up
in the game and all that, right? But more than a goal, the goal's great, but you know, people score goals. Terrific assist.
He scored a goal last night.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
But we're talking about the hit for all those reasons. And it's like fate has perfectly aligned for people to fall in love with Jake Muzzin.
Oh, yeah.
And that was the apotheosis of that in that moment.
It's the new girl. It's like you've been in high school for years. It's the same group of people, and then the new girl shows up. And go, hey, she's from California. Look at her tan. You know, like because Muzzin is in theory not in the top five or six best players on the Maple Leafs.
Nope.
But what he was hey, look, beard. I haven't seen one of them. Big.
Yeah.
And big shot.
Yeah, you're right. Beard, just the whole presence,
yeah.
the Western Conference swagger physically. You make a good point about how he's not in the top six best players. He's not in terms of skill.
Yeah.
But he might be now in the top six most important players, because if he can liberate Morgan Rielly and turn him loose, that one extra step,
yeah,
you know, which we feel like he has in him, but he's probably been held back by his partners.
Mm-hmm.
I know he got flipped over the other side. We'll see how that works out, but it's not the point. We expect him to be better with Muzzin than he was with Hainsey.
And he makes Hainsey better, because if Hainsey's on the third line getting 14 minutes.
Hate him way less there.
Well, it's also.
And Ozhiganov is out, which is better for Dermott.
But Hainsey could this could make him a better player, because it's fewer minutes. It's like when when Mo Pete was the number one scoring option for the Raptors stunk and Mo Pete stunk because defenders were, you know, respecting him.
You see, but
when he was the third or fourth guy, then suddenly he's better.
One of the number one ways to screw an athlete in a market is to put them in a position where they are not designed to excel.
Fair enough. Castle. Right?
100%. We've seen this 1,000 times, and Hainsey is just the most. And everybody knew it.
Yeah.
The coaching staff knew it. The administration knew it. Fans knew it. I'm sure the team, the players know everything before anybody does, because they're living it. So,
yeah.
I mean, everybody knew, and it got fixed. So, to go back to this idea of top six players, he may not be one of the top six best players in terms of skill, but he's probably in that top five in terms of importance.
Yeah.
Like, who do we put above him? Matthews.
Yep.
Marner.
Yep.
Tavares.
Mm-hmm.
Rielly.
Anderson.
Yeah, Anderson counts, yeah.
Yeah.
You're right. Okay, so yeah. Non-goalie.
But yeah, get the goalie out, because that's sort of cheating. It's a cheating game.
It's just a weird thing, right?
Yeah.
It's like pitchers versus position players in baseball.
Yeah. He's right now, it's the NFL CFL. In terms of MVP, Muzzin is higher than MOP, most outstanding player. He's a little bit lower, but for value, yeah, because it helps two guys on the Leafs defense.
I was really happy to see the Leafs show up early last night.
Oh yeah,
because I know that's a cliche about how they got to start on time.
It's the cliche season. It's the official cliche,
but it's also true.
It is,
and particularly against bad teams. Like, you saw the stinker that they laid against Detroit.
It was
an awful game.
That was a PVR game for me.
Yeah, just
shuttle through.
Right? Just wait to see action or a stoppage and play of some sort.
Yep.
Yeah, 100%. And then Pittsburgh was a really exciting game, right? And so Anaheim just felt like, with this crazy Leafs year where they don't try against crappy teams, that could have been a dud.
Oh, yeah. And it was a Monday. You're like, here comes the Monday funk.
You know, and then Anaheim's coming off of getting destroyed by Winnipeg. So you think, well, if they got anything left in the tank, they're going to be flying.
Yeah.
Which I guess they don't.
They do not.
That felt like Randy Carlyle's last game.
Oh, it did.
Yeah.
I mean, and the thing is, the first period, there was no score, but the Leafs were the better team. Like, clearly, they had all the chances. I think Anderson was really only challenged maybe once in the game, or in the first period. A
couple times.
In the first. Like, so even though the one good thing is, the one great message Babcock can send from this game, and again, it's incredibly micro against a lousy team, but the very least you go to the team, listen, even if you're not scoring, don't get discouraged, because it was 0-0 at the end of one, but you were clearly the better team. Keep doing what you're doing. Eventually the goals are going to come, and then they came.
We got to start a GoFundMe campaign from Nazem Kadri, because you know the famous saying, he can't buy a goal.
Oh,
you gotta
yeah.
buy this guy a goal. Like, this poor bastard. Like, he's hit the post 10 times. He leads the team, and he's got to be at the top of the league.
Yeah,
think about that. If even half of those go in, that's five extra goals on the season. Like, you're literally an inch away.
We need
to
buy him a goal.
Oh, we got to get that guy a goal. Let's go to Costco.
Yeah.
Get one of those big shopping carts they have.
Why don't we just do this? Because it's not like, you know, I don't think there's going to be a lot of contract ramifications in terms of performance bonuses, but just go to the NHL.com and ESPN and TSN and go, listen, guys, just throw four more onto the G column. You know, just so he can feel good. Just so he can feel good of himself. Like, retroactive. Like, in the game where the Leafs lose, 7-4, make it 7-6. It was a closer game.
When he hit the post last night, there was this moment where he thought he scored.
Yeah.
And then just that split second when he realized, oh no, it happened again.
Yeah.
I just wanted to give him a hug.
Yeah.
I felt so bad for him. Nylander looked good last night, too.
The Nylander speed. You saw it on the Connor Brown goal.
The assist is the beauty.
Yeah, the beauty. And then, I mean, he scored himself a little bit out later. That was as much about the Hyman pass. But yeah, the Nylander speed was out. And we'll see how much longer is he on that third line. And Andreas Janssen on the fourth line. That's got to... Those
Although
guys got to get
Brown
the
played
elevator.
Well last night. But Janssen, I mean, a 4.9. Clearly, I would rather see Janssen get more minutes than Brown.
Mm-hmm.
But I understand why.
Yeah.
Because, like, look, it's been said a bazillion times. It'll be said a bazillion more while Connor Brown's on the team. He's the kind of player that coaches love, especially when your team is inconsistent.
Mm-hmm.
Then you throw him out there, and if he was a little better, he'd be an all-star. Because if you can try at that rate, if you have that kind of work rate and skill, well, then you're a great player.
Yeah.
You know, but so he can't really shame anyone with his effort. You know what I mean? Like a Sidney Crosby can shame people with his effort. Like when Sidney Crosby
is out working the slugs.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Like if you're on the fourth line,
yeah,
and you're looking and you're saying, God, Crosby's working so much harder than I am, then you know you're buying a ticket to the AHL.
Yeah.
Right. But Brown can't do that because, you know, if you're a good player, if you're better than him, this is one of the great sort of fallacies about character in the room. You know, if a guy stinks, he can't shame anybody.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. No. It's just you just quietly go. You know what you can have? You can have quiet smugness to yourself.
Right. But coaches love it.
Yeah. Yeah.
The
yeah,
coaches
yeah.
still care.
And again, we should remind, yes, Anaheim sucks.
They suck.
For all the greatness, we have to, you know, counterbalance it with that's a really bad team.
It was interesting afterwards. Muzzin said that, you know, discussing the Western Conference, you know, Anaheim for years was considered such a hard team to play against because they were big. Heavy on the puck and the man,
heavy
as you sports fan Matt Cause like to say.
That's right.
And he kind of said, well, he didn't kind of say, he did say, like, there's teams out there that are too big and slow to deal with the speed mm-hmm. of the Eastern Conference. Like, I'm parsing the comments.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I'm distilling it.
That's something you wouldn't have heard 5 years ago.
5 years ago, you would never have said, boy, I really like the way the East is small and quick.
Yeah.
It's amazing how our mindsets have changed in such a short period of time.
Unlike in the NBA, where it never, ever changes. It never changes. It's always the West. Now the East. The East is the dominant. At the very least, it's the better. Like for so long, the West was clearly better. And now,
with the exception of Tampa, I still expect the champion to come out of the West. Just because when you do get to the playoffs and it's like end of a long season, it's mm-hmm. just look. It's better to be big and strong,
yep.
and skilled,
yep.
than small,
yes.
and skilled.
Well, now Jake Muzzin's here, so we're big.
So true.
Take that.
Yeah, and bearded.
And bearded.
Big and bearded.
Big and bearded. We don't have big and beard.
You know, the Leafs needed some fun, just because you know. The Nylander thing was a drag,
yeah.
and Matthews hasn't really been himself since returning from injury.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Marner's Marner.
Yep.
You know, Tavares is so workmanlike. Yeah. He's almost a bit like Kawhi Leonard in that sense, where it's just
we
like...
We take it for granted.
You know, he's 31 goals in the season.
Yeah,
he's 31 goals.
Yeah, another goal for Tavares.
You know, he's just so damn good, but he's not flashy.
Yeah.
Right? So this was just a quick little February jolt.
Gave us his little hockey Viagra.
Yeah, there you go. He's the blue pill.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, wait, you ready for this?
Mm.
The blue and white pill.
Oh!
Get me that pastrami sandwich. I'm ready for a good time.
Who says we're rusty after 2 weeks?
Seriously, you were right, Matt. I was wrong. We don't stink.
We don't stink. You know what also doesn't stink, Bob?
Go for it, buddy.
That was such a telegraph segue.
It was awful.
Oh, God, it was horrible.
Do you hit yourself
sometimes? I'm going to go another way. Let's say you got to pick up a phone number and you got to call someone and you need help. I need legal help. Where do I go? You dial 416-777-0088. It sounds like a pizza phone number, but it's more delicious than a pizza because it's a hot slice of law. 416-777-0088. That's our lawyer's number, Jeff Pollock. What? A website? Of course there is. JeffPollock.com. That's Jeff with a G, as in he's the original G, the OG when it comes to lawyer and stuff. Whether it's wills, litigation, states, or trust, corporate, commercial, whatever. And here's the most important thing from this G. He'll get your T, as in trust. We trust him. You should trust him as well. He handled my will. Super good guy. And it'll make you feel relaxed. JeffPollock.com. How's that for a read? Eh?
Matt, I think you're going to need Jeff's services. Yeah. That was so good. Yeah. It was a crime.
Exactly. I see what you did right there, Bob.
Jeff and I texted on the way over here.
What?
We're narrowing down a date. I'm going to be in Toronto for most of February.
Uh-huh.
And so
uh-huh.
Just going up north for a quick little fun in the snow weekend, but other than that, I'm here.
You're here, yeah. And so, well, the great thing is if you're gone on the weekend, Jeff works on the weekdays. So
yeah,
that's
exactly
make,
right.
That should
so make this is not an obstacle. Okay, so I really want to talk to you about the Raptors, and I have an important slash big question. We haven't done a big question in a while.
Yeah.
I think I have one about the Raptors.
Okay.
It's AD adjacent.
Okay.
Right. With the trade deadline coming up, it's AD adjacent. But we'll get to that in a second because I have a more important question.
Yeah.
You are a tidy person, right?
Yeah.
You like things to be orderly.
Mm-hmm.
And you're very good about maintaining order.
Yeah.
Your inbox. Clean as a whistle, right?
Oh, yeah.
Under 20 emails at all times,
yes,
right?
Yes, I do my best.
I'm currently at 9,700.
You and Landsberg.
Yeah. And there's a similarity between the two of us. Handsome. Anyway. Yeah. actually, not true. But so sometimes I come over to your house, and I'm surprised when I see things spread about.
Yeah.
Now, occasionally, it's holiday season, so there's just stuff everywhere, right?
Mm-hmm.
But I'm sitting here doing the pod, and my eyes tilt leftwards, and there's a series of bras that are laid out across all of your kitchen chairs.
Yep.
So are you drying bras right now?
It's Amy and her twin sister, Christy. They don't put bras in the dryer.
Right.
So
they shrink, right?
Apparently.
Which I imagine would be uncomfortable.
I don't know. So I don't know what happens to them, but something negative.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, so they're all about... And, there's other clothes and things. And
yeah, I don't have a problem with it because you know how I live.
Yeah, I know how you live.
Right? Like, honestly, like, you know how I know what I have? Mm. I can see all of it.
That's funny.
But in your home, I always find it surprising whenever there's stuff about.
Well,
so on a scale of 1 to 10, how much does that drive you nuts?
You know what? I'd like to give a fun answer. Like, it drives me nuts quite a bit, but I accept it.
Right.
You know,
is it resignation?
Yeah, there's some resignation. Yeah. Yep.
Oh, that's good stuff.
Yep, some resignation, but you know, I just move on. Just onwards and upwards.
Yeah, you are a true hero, Maddie.
Yeah, I am.
So I got a question for you.
Yeah.
And I want to get to the Raptors' big question in just a second. But you're doing 1 to 4 a lot on TSN 1050, right? Like so. Yeah. And I'm assuming you're probably going to be doing this for the foreseeable future.
That seems, at least for now. Yeah, we'll see.
Okay.
I'm a leaf in the river, Bob, floating around. I know.
You are, honestly, you are Master Oogway. Yep. You are just a turtle accepting things as they come.
As they come.
Matt, you've always been my hero.
Yeah.
So, but my question is scheduling wise, it's in the middle of the day.
Yeah.
So it's hard for us to find time to do the pod.
Yeah.
So are we going to have to start putting shows in the can? And should we, and maybe we can throw this out to our listeners, we'll put this on our Instagram account.
Yeah.
should we do an episode, like a standalone, that's just top fives every week, where you do a top five and I do a top five, and we record it on the day where we do our real pod, like this.
Yeah.
But afterwards, just because it's getting harder and harder for you and I to be together.
Yeah.
Right? Somebody tweeted, Buffalo Phil, are we ever going back to 2 a week? I think that's going to be hard with your schedule and my schedule.
It's going
to
be hard, yeah.
Right?
It works could better be with it works better with unemployment. Rampant unemployment.
Yeah. It's true.
If we're doing 3 a week, send money. We'll start a Patreon.
Oh, man. That's so funny. While you're out buying Nassim Kadri a goal, maybe you can help us out, too. I always find whenever I'm really, really unemployed, I gain weight. But there's more pods.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, so that's good. Anyway, so maybe we should start doing top fives, like additional weekly top fives that we could just put out.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm down for that.
Let's start doing it.
Yeah, I'm down for that. And like we'll figure it. Like for you it could be tough, like taking the streetcar over here.
Oh, it was a drag this morning. Because 7:30 in the morning, packed like sardines on the 501.
That's the problem, is you're getting busy streetcar time.
It's true, and it's so slow. It's not just crowded, but because there's so many people getting on and off, it's not even like you're whizzing through the city.
No.
You know, you're crawling through the city.
Yeah, and you're just begging to get into the King City pilot part of it.
Okay, so here's the dog-eat-dog nature of modern life, I accept it to a certain degree. But something that drives me nuts, when I'm on the streetcar and I see able-bodied people under 30 sitting on the crowded streetcar,
yep,
stand up and let somebody who's over 50 sit down.
Absolutely.
It drives me nuts. Like, yeah. I'm in a stand-up zone in life still. Like, I'm, but if I see people coming on that look like they need to sit,
yeah,
give them your freaking seat.
Absolutely.
Watching some poor old lady sit there with a whole bunch of bags in her arms, and she's 55 years old, next to some millennial with their headphones on, whizzing through Instagram, you know, like liking pictures of people's food and their dogs.
Yeah.
And I just want to smack them in the back of the head.
Oh, I love it. Love it. Take that, millennials. The problem is the phone is the perfect excuse because they're so focused on it, they don't know what's going on.
They're in the cone.
They're like the phone cone. They're in the phone cone. Like, what? If I had known, I would have done something about it.
If I had noticed other people, then I might have responded. Now, you see my dilemma here.
Yeah. Now, the only one I'll give an excuse to, if you're on the inside of a two-person seat and you're by the window and there's someone sitting to your left and everything's packed, it's hard to get up and get everyone out of the way so someone else can sit. But if it's easy access for you to stand up, then stand up.
So true. And the other thing I kind of want to say to them is, look, you're going to be that tired person sooner than you think.
Yeah.
So you know what? Honor your legs by standing now.
Yeah.
Because
You
won't have the option later.
It's the same thing. I don't understand when people rip on old people. I'm like, you're going to...
Old people are heroes, man.
Yeah. And also, you're going to be one day. You don't have
if
to
you're lucky.
You don't have to agree with everything, but they're ripping on someone because they're old. That's... I mean, it's very short-sighted.
Just don't talk politics with them.
And that's fine, because eventually you'll be old and your politics will change. And, you know, it's not that their politics are wrong. It's just, you know, that's their perspective.
I don't know. I've gone further and further left the older I get.
Yeah.
You know, I started off kind of like a left of center, but still basically centrist in my philosophy.
Yeah.
But the older I get, maybe it's because I haven't had a steady job in about 4 years, but like I just keep, I'm listening to a lot of pods.
Oh, man. You know,
but I just keep getting more and more like... Maybe I want a Bolshevik revolution.
Oh, that would be the worst thing. Didn't do well for Russia.
No, I know. Yeah. Believe me, my family's Ukrainian. Why do you think we're here? If it had worked out, we'd be there.
God, all the dummies out there that like worship some of the authors of that revolution.
But at the same time, you go to France and you can stay in the Hotel Napoleon. History and memory is a funny thing.
Yeah, it. I just love the idea of Bob's like you could like just. You know, you start getting a couple things start working and the money starts rolling in. And then suddenly, you know, the dial goes from left back to middle.
To right.
Yeah.
That's so funny.
I couldn't.
Well, you know, I'm an angry person by nature.
Yeah.
So I like a good fight.
Well, there's anger on both sides.
Yeah, fair enough.
There's no shortage of anger. You know what makes me angry, Bob?
What makes you angry? Let me guess, when you can't get a good cheap seat for a ticket for a concert you want to go see?
I feel like we need a Jake Muzzin in our reads here because we got to get something.
Spice it up a little
yeah,
bit.
Yeah, we got to spice up a bit. I
pastrami,
get angry, Bob.
Man. Pastrami.
I get rage. I get filled with rage. There I am. I got my ticket.
I'm a rageaholic.
I'm a rageaholic.
You're chugging rageahol.
Just dumping rageahol down my throat. And why? Because I got my tickets for the Raptor game. And it's only $52 a seat. How did I do that? Oh, why? It's American dollars. Now I've got to add an extra, you know, an extra 25%. Well, it's SeatGiant.ca. You don't do any of that. All the tickets, Canadian dollars. It's a Canadian-owned, operated company. They guarantee standby the customer experience. And the most important part, because we're going to use this money to get Bob to be right wing, use the discount code Bob and Matt at checkout, and you save money on your ticket. So you win. We get a little money, so then we win, and suddenly Bob is talking about, you know, it's just about border security. It's not about racism whatsoever. And ba-bam, 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 ba-bam. Just keeping the bad people out. There's a lot of bad people. You know where they are.
Oh, my God. I was reading a story this morning.
SeatGiant.ca.
About Paul Ryan trying to explain healthcare to him, and he got tired of listening and wandered out and turned on the TV in the next room.
Really?
Dun, 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 dun.
It's not all right for everyone. You got to work for it. Like old DT.
Hey, I heard a great phrase the other day. I like this one, though. Hard work isn't easy, but it's fair. That I agree with. That's the part of me that's actually kind of conservative, is I tend to believe you got to pull yourself up by your bootstraps.
But shouldn't that be everyone?
Yes, it should be. But I also think we have to acknowledge that not everybody starts with the same advantages and some people are handed disadvantages. It's our job to try and level the playing field.
Agreed.
That I believe.
Yes.
Like, I don't like it when certain members of the conservative movement who are born with silver spoons in their mouths talk about how all you got to do is try.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Of course.
You know, lighten up a little bit, Francis, right? Like some of us have to try harder than others, right?
Yes.
So I just like a, I like a good fair fight.
Yeah.
I got no problem with a fight. Starts the whole episode with Jake Muzzin. I like a good battle.
Yeah.
We really a real one, not a fixed one. I don't like a fixed fight. Anyway, so here's my big question with the Raptors, and I'll shut up for a bit and let you go.
Yeah.
Trade deadline's coming up.
Thursday.
Yep. A lot of noise about how the Raptors should make a play for AD.
They should.
And they've got the assets to be competitive, at least, right? New Orleans may not want to do it,
yep,
but the Raptors can be competitive. But we know it'll require Siakam.
Goodbye.
OG.
Goodbye.
JV.
Goodbye.
Right. All. So we agree on this, right? Yep. Whatever deal you need to make that doesn't touch Leonard or Lowry, you make it, right?
Unless you get Jrue Holiday. If you get Holiday and AD, you want Lowry back?
Okay, no. Okay, I'm just assuming that's not even an
option. Okay.
I'm saying like the deal for AD,
yeah.
I don't think you touch Lowry in that one because you need somebody still to, you need a grown up on the floor to run things that I don't think Fred has shown and DeLon have shown this year. You can trust them in four rounds of the playoffs. Anyway, a friend of mine texted me and said, if they get AD and they throw over all these guys, this team is just going to feel like a bunch of rented mercenaries in Raptors uniforms.
Yep.
And he said, I'm kind of out on that.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a good point.
So here's my big question. Do you care about the journey more than the result?
Ooh. That's a good question because I hadn't thought of it like that. I'm going to steal that for TSN 1050. You're right. Like,
no, I'm not right. I'm wondering because I don't know how I feel about it. This is why we should discuss.
It does. It would feel like full mercenary. It would.
Kawhi and AD, if it were to happen that they hoisted up the trophy and they had the big parade, people would not really have any emotional connection to them.
It'd be great, but you wouldn't have an emotional connection towards the players because at least OG and Siakam, they were drafted here and so they'd be developed here. Though they haven't been here that long, there still is that part of sport, part of sports mythology of the character arc of a franchise, not of a player of a franchise, is draft and develop, and you get to know these players, and you know, and it becomes interwoven within your sports fabric. And that's how when you eventually win the championship, it feels sweeter. But in this case, it's just, we grab that guy over there, that guy over there, and they gave us the shiny bauble. The bauble wouldn't feel as shiny if it was AD and Kawhi. It'd be a fun ride, but it would be an empty calorie ride in some sense.
So if you're the Raptors, you don't care. Right, because your job is to win a championship.
Your job is to get a championship.
Bobby Webster, and to a certain degree, also Masai Ujiri, although he needs to care a little bit more, because he maintains the brand, not just the team, and they're kind of different things, which is sort of what we're talking about. Like the idea, like what my friend said, and I thought this was interesting, is he was so invested in the Lowry DeRozan friendship, and he understood the idea of you got to break it up to go and get Kawhi.
Yeah.
But his point was sort of, if it's just throw everybody over and get whatever rent a stud you can, win a championship and then have them leave town the next year. Well, what the hell was that? It was like paying for sex.
It's the Marlins. Yeah, it is. It's like paying for sex or the Miami Marlins.
Like there's no relationship, right? Yep. Like it's like pornography in a way. Maybe that's a better way to describe it, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like nothing's worse in a porno movie than the idea that they're feigning intimacy.
Yeah. Oh,
right?
Yeah.
Like let's not kid ourselves here, right?
Yeah. No, there is something true about that. I mean,
but why though, right? Like, and I thought, okay, let me throw this out to you. Think about how different the 89 Jays were in terms of their roster from the 91-92 Jays. There was a lot of turnover, or 92-93.
Yeah.
There was a lot of turnover. And the people who won in 93, they had no relationship to the 87 team or the 80. Like, there was a lot of turnover. Like, Barfield, Mosby, Bell, all these people that we fell in love with, they were gone.
They were gone, but it's still, because it's baseball, there's still plenty of guys you recognize.
Yeah, and Olrud was there, and we fell in love with Carter and Alomar, and they were, you know, and they were such key contributors. So, but like, when David Cone came aboard, no one said, oh, this doesn't feel right.
Yeah.
They were like, that's awesome.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, no, it's true.
Right.
But at least there was there was other stuff here. If it was basketball, because visually it would be those two guys. In baseball, you know, there's still gonna be a lot of other players, contributing. So
Ricky Henderson was brought in.
Yeah.
You know, for that 93 team.
Yep.
And you know, Dave Winfield was brought in
for the 92 team.
Yeah. You know, Paul Molitor was brought in. Like, but there was a core of players that you still had. And I think this speaks to the nature of basketball because it is just five guys on the court at one time. and it is two or three key contributors.
Yeah.
Within that five.
Yeah.
If you just swap out those key contributors, there's no time to fall in love with them. And maybe that does matter.
Okay. I have an analogy.
You and I have been analogy central today.
I'm going to tell people listening, if you want to fast forward for about 45 seconds, please feel free. Fair warning. Okay. But I'm going to describe this like it was in a textbook in grade 8 health.
Okay.
Okay. If the Raptors, let's say they had won a title last year with Lowry and DeRozan, that's the feeling of when you ejaculate during sex.
Okay,
with,
I'm out.
Wait, with someone you love, okay? Versus if it's with, let's say they get AD and, you know, and they got Kawhi and they win a title this year.
Let me know when you're done.
The final act is still the moment of ejaculation. But in this case, it would be through masturbation, where the act is still physically the same. However, the result and the feeling is very different. Like, everything else around it is different. One is with someone you presumably love, and the other is either with, as you mentioned, a hooker or just with your hand. So that's the analogy, Bob, I would give to the Raptors winning a title with homegrown talent. And I'm done, Bob. I'm done. You get what I'm saying about that analogy, right?
Seat Giant.
Oh, seatgiant.ca.
Seatgiant.ca.
Yep. Bob and Madden discount code.
Yeah.
And if you want to sue me because your earballs just got damaged, JeffPollock.com.
Did my pornography analogy not cover that same point just
but I
3 minutes ago?
I really wanted to hammer it home.
You really did, too.
I gave fair warning.
No, you really did.
And by the way, there were no swears there. Every word I used is in a grade 8 health textbook.
It's 100% true.
Maybe not anymore. I don't know what Ford's doing with it.
Because of Ontario things.
The conservatives ruining everything.
I think the Raptors are on a kamikaze mission, basically, this year.
Oh, it is?
Right? Like,
yeah.
It's all or nothing.
Oh, it's all or nothing, baby.
We phrase it as they have a mandate to win now. Mm-hmm. No. They are like, this is the last ride. They are not expecting anyone to come home.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. You know, They are.
The Dirty Dozen, and they're being sent out into the field, and there's no Saving Private Ryan.
They're like Deep Impact. They're not Armageddon.
Right.
The group led by Robert Duvall. The group led by Robert Duvall. They knew they were going to die, but they had a job to do to make sure that the comet didn't hit planet Earth and kill Elijah Wood and President Morgan Freeman.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone talks Armageddon. Not enough people talk about Deep Impact, which is the better of the two movies.
Well, this is sort of like the two Volcano movies that got released at the same time. There was Volcano
and Dante's Peak, or Dante's Inferno.
No, it was Peak.
Dante's Peak? Yeah. Okay.
And so,
of course, that's Dante's Inferno.
The weirdness of having two very specific disaster settings.
At
the same time.
One with Tommy Lee Jones, one with Pierce Brosnan. And the best with the Dante's Peak one was at the end when there's like ash landing on everyone and it became a story of racial equality. It's like, look, with all the ash, we're all the same color.
By the way, why is it no matter what? I know.
So cheesy. Yeah,
it was a little on the nose. why is it always in disaster movies that the first sign of trouble is cracks in the highway?
Yeah.
You ever notice that?
Yeah.
Like, there's always somebody who gets out of the car mystified because the highway is cracking.
Yeah.
Huh?
Yeah.
Whether it's earthquake or inferno or alien landing or whatever it is,
the highway.
That's always where
wait, this could be top five signs of disaster. Another one of my favorite movie tropes. When all, like, there's a billion birds all flying in one direction.
Right, that's a great one.
And you're walking in the other and you're like, oh, damn it.
Well, you know what the biggest one is? The news report that you don't pay full attention to in the morning over breakfast.
It's
and someone there. And someone turns down the volume.
Yeah, exactly.
Mm-hmm.
A human, someone in the hospital was bit by that on the hand, and now they're violently attacking everyone else.
Exactly.
It's like, huh, what? I don't know. Béarnaise sauce. I got Béarnaise on our Eggs Benedict.
A 6.5 earthquake registered just off the coast of Indonesia. Click.
Click, whatever. A rising reptilian hit. Click. It's so true. Disaster.
All right. Bam. There you go. Bam. Up
Bam.
Top.
We're back after my really disgusting, well, and on the nose analogy.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Anyway, so Lowry's out with the bad back. And that gives us more reason to be afraid.
Yep.
And it puts us even more in win now mode.
Yeah.
Because even if he's okay, you got to believe this is like, I mean, with the game he plays, with the hard minutes he's logged, with the age, all that stuff. It's probably his last good year. And he's not even great right now.
He's not.
The shot is off, but he's such a smart player.
Mm-hmm.
And he's such a hard-working player that he's still legitimately... Like, you could argue maybe he's not really an all-star. Maybe it should be D'Angelo Russell. You can have that argument.
Yep.
And they tend to favor the veterans over the new kids. You know,
Dwayne Wade going.
Yeah, all that stuff, right? And you know what? It's an exhibition game, and you're honoring people who've been good for the game.
Yep, sure.
Sure. The point is, like, in the last few years, never would have questioned whether Lowry should be there. This year, you know, if you're a Raptors fan, you're like, well, you know, he probably shouldn't, but he's done a lot for the league.
You know where Lowry's hitting?
Mm.
When he makes a three, we're a little more excited than we should be.
Right.
You know, like a year or 2 years ago, like, yep, that's what he does.
No, or even at the beginning of the season. Even like,
his October.
He was hitting like 40% on pull-up threes.
His first month was spectacular. And, you know, and remember the conversation? Huh, the team doesn't need Kawhi. Look at all the games they're winning without him. And that analogy,
And they haven't found that chemistry, and I don't think that they're ever going to.
Yeah.
But you, so then in order to win, they just have to be so talented that they don't even have to be cohesive.
Yeah.
Like, there's just so much individual talent that the quality of basketball will just carry them.
The question is, who's the second guy that every other game in the playoffs can get you 25 points?
Right now. You mean right now?
Right now. Who's the other guy? I mean, the big name they keep hearing is Mirotić. From the Pelicans, and they're in full sell mode, averaging around 18 a game. Always used to kill the Raptors when he was with the Bulls.
Yep.
I think he's at 20 this year. That's the name that you hear. Like, that's the name du jour that you hear out there right now.
I think for Raptors fans, don't fall in love with anybody. It doesn't matter.
Ooh, question for you, and this goes to the Raptors.
Okay.
I have to today, hopefully they're not listening, I have to buy my... soon-to-be 9-year-old nephew, a Raptors jersey.
Okay. Oh, who should the player be?
Who should the player be?
Oh, that's a great question. That's actually a really great question. Okay, well, let's go through the order.
Yeah.
It shouldn't be Leonard.
No.
Because that's a one and done if I ever saw him.
20% chance he stays.
He might.
Yeah.
Better chance he stays if you get AD.
Yeah.
Lowry. I would probably go Lowry, and I'll tell you why. Because... of the contribution in the past, that even if he does leave, there's still a legacy. It's like when you go to the Scotiabank Center, whatever the
ACC.
They call it these, the ACC.
I'm a TD Trust.
Like,
what
you can still wear a Gilmore jersey and not look like a fool, or a Clark jersey or a Sundin jersey, and they haven't been Leafs in forever.
Yep.
But it doesn't seem out of place.
Yeah.
And I feel like Lowry is the only person on this roster that will be true of in 10 years.
Yep. See, you're
so
right.
So he'll have it for multiple years.
Yeah. See, I'm debating between Lowry or Siakam.
See, Siakam, if he stays, is going to be the emotional heartbeat.
Yeah. Fun player. He's taken
good player.
A leap. A good player. Yeah, no longer fun. He's a good player. So I gotta go do that today.
I would do Lowry, personally.
Yeah.
But then a friend of mine, a British friend of mine, who started to get into baseball, friendly guy.
Yeah.
He said to me, this was back in like 2012, he's like, who should I get? Like, what jersey should I get, you know, to take to the ballpark? Because he was getting into baseball. He didn't know a ton about it. And I said, oh, Jose Reyes. He's a great player.
Oh,
yeah. I know.
That did not age well.
Deep impact.
Yeah, deep impact indeed. And this time, it strikes into the Pacific Ocean, causing tsunamis that wipe out most of the world.
So I'm just warning you now.
Yeah.
You may want to do the opposite of what I say because I got a bad track record with this sort of thing. I would get Lowry personally, but I would have gotten DeRozan last year.
Yeah.
Who would have seen that coming?
That's a great, no.
And it goes back to the point of the first question. The big question is the emotional connection you feel.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder if this is a generational thing. There's a lot of layers to this next question. Do you think young people give a shit whether they like the team or not, or do they just want wins? And do you think that the advancement of analytics has turned people more into widgets than personalities? Because when we were growing up, a character, like the character and personality of a player, was seen as an important factor in how good they are.
Mm-hmm.
Now it feels like character and personality are almost embarrassing to talk about, and it's just about skill and deployment.
Oh, God, yeah.
Right? But that means you fall less in love with people.
Yes.
Like, there was for our generation, when DeRozan was traded, it was bittersweet.
Yeah.
And for a lot of the people under 30 that I talked to when DeRozan was traded, they were just like, yeah, great. Sneaks in the playoffs. Bye.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's a good point. We are, that is a generational gap. We're now, you know, you get younger analytics people and they view.
By the way, this you have to describe what just happened because okay. Are you okay? Okay, describe that.
Amy's twin sister, Christy, was trying to find her keys. She wanted to be quiet, and she crawled under the table where we did the pod, talking. And then she still whacked her back on the table, so all attempts to stay quiet failed. Yeah.
Don't apologize. I feel bad you had to hurt yourself.
But it's a generational gap. You know, younger people, it's not as much about team. It's about their own, they're following their favorite individual players and the idea of character. A lot of, especially people in the younger people in the media, they view character as like, oh, that's just what old mainstream media does to create narrative arcs and easy cliches and this and that. But man, you need it. Like, if you really want to buy in and if you want the full, like, it's like go to the car wash. If you want the full service, if you want where they're even cleaning the interior using the special wax, you got to care about the character of the percentage of the players.
It's, and this really goes back to the central thesis of the question, which is, do we care who wins?
Mm-hmm.
And if you bring in AD, who I'm sure is a great guy.
Yeah.
And he seems to be.
And well, you got him for at least one more year.
Right. You know, so it's not like a total, you know, it's not totally cynical.
Yeah.
But there's no relationship with the guy.
No.
And it's not like he's the piece that's brought in to complete the picture.
Yeah.
It's literally like you're erasing most of the picture and quickly sketching in something different with the time remaining between now and the playoffs.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Now, Kawhi, you could make the argument, like had a whole year to become part of the city's fabric.
Yeah.
And that hasn't really happened. You know, everybody acknowledges how great he is, but do you care about Kawhi?
No, I care if he signs, but there's not a lot of personality there. He doesn't exactly have a lot of energy, and that's fine. That's who he is.
And that's who he is. Yeah. And it's not a fault.
You know, he is not a sports politician. No. He's not the guy coming here to make sure that you help fall in love with him and helps the PR wing of the team.
And Danny Green is the opposite, right? Like, I think even though Danny Green has got two things going for him. One, he's overperformed.
Yep.
Actually, three things. Two, we got him for a song. He was the throw-in, so it's not like you had to give up anything to get him.
Mm-hmm.
And three, he's really lovable.
Yeah.
You know, like if Danny Green, but, you know, he's like, what, 40% of the player that Kawhi is? God, Kawhi's incredible.
He is incredible.
He's so strong, utterly efficient.
Except for
that. Kind of a ball stopper.
Except for that Milwaukee game last week. Oof.
You know, I'm also thinking, like, I'm looking around the East. I'm thinking, okay, this might be the last year that even a really great Raptors team might be the best team in the East. Like Milwaukee, it may be too late already, but I think they're just going to get better and better.
Yep.
You know, I don't even think we should call him Giannis anymore. Just call him Thanos.
Mm-hmm.
Thanos Antetokounmpo. Like, it's going to be his league. It might already be. Boston seems to have chemistry issues.
Yeah, Boston's weird.
They're weird. They might sort it out and they might not.
And Anthony Davis's dad doesn't want Davis to go there.
Because of IT. Didn't you love that?
Yeah.
Take that, Danny Ainge.
Yeah. I mean, I'm all, like, listen.
Sports, again, the mercenary part of it, right?
Sports is a business and, you know, you get that and you got Kyrie Irving. But, I mean, no team has ever done a guy as dirty as what the Celtics did to Isaiah Thomas.
Oh, and
it's not even close.
It's just like the playoff run and playing through injury.
And his sister dying and, yeah.
You know, coming off of one of the most, you know, interesting / historic years a point guard's ever had, the size of the guy,
and his
personality.
And he was efficient last that year.
And they just killed him.
Yep.
They just snuffed him.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway. So there's that. Like, I'm very, you know, Philly, as long as you have Embiid and Simmons and Butler, there's always a chance they could be a finalist.
Or Jimmy Butler will just blow the team up from the inside.
There's always that hope. But this, it just feels like there's a lot of good teams.
Oh, yeah. Boston, Milwaukee, Philly. All three of those legitimate teams where you can chart a clear path to how they become a dominant team. You can see it.
This almost feels like, remember the Houston Rockets when Jordan was out and they won back-to-back titles?
Yeah.
With Drexler and Olajuwon?
Yep.
It's like there was a break in the action and then like the next best team was able to step up and then things returned to normal.
Yeah.
Right, and I kind of feel like the Raptors are there right now, okay? You just got through this whole LeBron nightmare. The next nightmare hasn't really started yet. There's this, like, gap.
Yep.
And you got to fill it now, or else the ship sails.
I mean, there's just two places. I mean, if Kawhi re-signs, the Raptors can be a legit team. And if Kawhi doesn't, then it's time to sell off everything, develop OG and Pascal, and have a couple of years where you win 19 games.
If you get AD,
yeah,
then maybe you convince Kawhi to do a one-and-done year, like a Kevin Durant-type deal, because mm-hmm. you know you have AD for another whole year.
Yeah.
And at least then you got two shots at a title with two of the best players in the league,
yep.
like two of your top five, six players in the league. And so if I'm Masai, I'm overpaying to get Anthony Davis because it doesn't matter. It does not matter.
You do what it takes.
You already do what it takes.
You already swung for the fences by trading DeRozan for Kawhi. Don't go, you know, like Mike taught us in Breaking Bad, don't go half measures. Mm-hmm. You do not go half measures. Kawhi Leonard acquisition was a full measures move. If you could get Anthony Davis, you do it. As for the Pelicans, I think they'd be dumb to trade him now.
Wait for Boston.
Wait for the end of the year. Get the best package you can for Anthony Davis.
It's interesting you say that because I don't know. I think I would probably look to deal him at the deadline if I thought, because really, like, who are you getting additionally, right? Boston. Mm-hmm. Boston is real, and they've got the assets to make it great.
Yeah.
They can't do it right now because of the league rules and Kyrie Irving and all kinds of arcane CBA stuff. They can't do it right now. But think about this. If you're a team like the Raptors, you know how you just said you get them for 2 years? You don't get them for 2 years. You get them for two playoffs. That's the important thing. So if you're Denver or you're Toronto or even LA, you know, although LA, they would just probably sign them long term. But anyway, my point is, if you get them as a rental, at least you get them for two cracks at the title.
Yep.
If you make that deal now.
Yep.
And that means that sweetens, like if you're Toronto and you think I could get them for that,
mm-hmm.
now maybe I'm willing to deal an extra pick into the mix. It's worth it. So,
and the value for the Pelicans is the Raptors' first round pick 4 years from now,
right,
could be a great one.
What's the year when they? There's a year coming up when they're going to get rid of the one and done.
Oh yeah. You got to keep an eye on that.
Yeah, I can't remember. I think it's 2021.
Yeah,
but those are like apparently the GMs are
hoarding
those.
Like, that's
like,
right. Yeah,
you know, like dwarves gold.
Bob.
Are we done?
We're done.
Oh, that's a sad thing.
And you can tell
by just getting warmed up.
You can tell by my voice when I give that Bob the Bob.
Yeah, I know. Well, that's how I knew, right?
Yeah.
You know. Also, you stopped paying attention to me about a minute and a half ago.
Not true at all. You mentioned something about elven gold.
It was dwarves gold.
That was the joke.
But no, you did a good. I get it. Oh, it was a joke.
Yes, it was a joke.
Oh, well, it was funnier when you explained it.
Yes.
Like all good jokes.
Good to be back, Bob. Good to have you back.
All right. So next week we'll do a normal show. And then why don't we do a top five Oscar-based show?
Because
the Oscars are coming up.
They are coming up.
Let's try this top five thing. You prepare one. I prepare one. We'll just do BS topics.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Love it.
Please send in your suggestions.
Yeah. MCause56. Where can they reach you on Twitter, Bob?
At Bob Makowitz.
That's right.
Or just find us on Instagram.
No, we can find me on Instagram at Matthew Cause. It's mostly wine stuff.
Yeah, I was going to say, if you can wade through the pictures of wine glasses and obnoxious plates of cheese.
Yeah. Shame on you for saying cheese is obnoxious. Cheese is delicious.
No, obnoxious as it's presented by you.
Very true.
You can be obnoxious and delicious, Matt. I think you are.
I am. Bye, Bob.
Thanks for listening to the Macko and Cause podcast. Remember to subscribe on iTunes or Audioboom. And if you like the podcast, leave a review. If you don't like the podcast, then maybe don't leave a review.